Good evening, everyone. As usual, I just want to firstly thank God for this opportunity He's given me to just come and be His mouthpiece, to come and share His word. And I do honestly pray and hope that you'll be blessed by it, you'll be encouraged, and maybe even convicted where needs be. If you're joining us for the first time this evening, we've been flying through the book of 1 Thessalonians. The train has been moving. We just passed our first stop. We had a stop last week. Now we're moving again. And we find ourselves in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll start our reading from verses 1 to 3. And then we'll skip to the passage for this evening, which is 9 to 13. So if you have your Bibles, won't you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. And it reads, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Verse 9. "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." Let us pray. Father, it's really a privilege just to serve you and to be used by you in the ministry of the preaching of your word. Father, even as I speak, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would use your word to cut my heart first. Lord, if I'm guilty of any sin, Lord, won't you forgive me? And as I preach your word, Lord, won't you help me to speak as thus saith the Lord? I pray, Father, for the Spirit's guidance. And I pray, Father, that in all that's going to happen tonight, Lord, may your name just be lifted up and may you receive the glory. I pray, Father, that the purpose of everyone in this room is that we would seek and pursue Christ's likeness, and may that be the purpose for why we live. For I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So as Yanni had mentioned and I had mentioned, we were looking at a church that I would consider as the model church or the ideal church. This was a church in Thessalonica where, as Paul was writing to them, he seems to just be saying a lot of things or praising them for a lot of the good things that they were doing. In chapter 4, he starts off these two chapters and says, "Brothers, this is the will of God. Do you want to know how to please God? Do two things. Number one, abstain from sexual immorality. And number two, love your brother." So he kicks it off and he says, if you want to know how to please God, if you want to find yourself in the will of God, abstain from any form or practice of sex outside of marriage, and love your brother. He then moves on into our text for this evening, which is in verse 9, and says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God." And that's our first point for this evening, a lesson straight from God. You see, God had instructed the church here in Thessalonica and as well the church here tonight. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. It reads, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. For after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." You see, the church at Thessalonica had something really special. No longer was the law of God or the word of God written on tablets of stone, but it was written on their hearts. God, the Holy Spirit, is crying out from inside of them, "Won't you love God? And if you love God, won't you love your brother?" When he says, you've been taught by God himself, it is the Holy Spirit who is crying out from inside of them saying, "Obey my law. Love your brother. Please me. Stay in the will of God." John 7, verse 17 reads, It says, if anyone wills to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. John 13:35 says, and by this you shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus Christ teaching his disciples, he says, how will people identify you as one of my own? How will people know for certain that these are followers of Jesus? How will people know that you are Christian? They will know this by they will look at your fruit. And what is your fruit? How you love your brother. A true disciple of God is seen in his love for his brother. So not only did God instruct them, not only is God teaching them in their hearts, but we know that Jesus Christ modeled this. John 3:16, a famous passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We see that the love of God for the world. But in 1 John 3:16, it says this, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Jesus Christ modeled what brotherly love looks like. If you want to know how to love your brother, then you should look at the model that Jesus Christ had painted for us. The true love of Christ for your brother is seen in you being willing to give up everything for your brother. You being willing to meet your brother's every need. You see, Jesus Christ, he saw you and I here on earth in need of a savior, and he came to meet our every need. Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven. He left the praise of his angelic beings. He left his father's side. He took on flesh. He was tempted in all points, but he did not sin. He suffered till the point of death, the death on the cross for you and I. In this is love. If you want to know how to love your brother, look at the image that God had painted for us. Last Sunday morning, Pastor Charles preached on the message in John chapter 15. And verse 12 reads, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. What does brotherly love look like? It is you giving yourself up to meet your brother's needs. So something that is beautiful is, even when you look at Jesus Christ on the cross, as he was hanging on that cross and he suffered the shame of the nation as they looked at him, stripped naked and hanging on the cross for our sins, as he experienced this pain, Jesus Christ, he had the perfect opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, I just want to focus on the pain I'm experiencing right now. Jesus Christ, as he was hanging on the cross, he could have said, Lord, loving your brother right now is too much. I'm just busy. But as Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, he still had compassion and he looked at those who were persecuting him and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You see, maybe we're going through difficult times in our walk with Christ. Maybe we're going through a difficult patch in life. Christ gave us the perfect model. As he was experiencing the death of the cross, even in that moment, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about others. Christ gave us this model. Christ saw you, he saw me, an unlovable, sinful man, and was filled with compassion and met my every need. Christ modeled loving your brother to the T. The church had an idea of this. We read in verse 10 of our passage. It says, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. The Thessalonians didn't just know what to do, but they did it. They weren't comfortable with just being filled with head knowledge. I know I should love my brother. I know I should give sacrificially. It wasn't just stuck up in their minds. They practiced it. Now Paul is urging them, he's encouraging them, do so more and more. The church at Thessalonica showed love throughout Macedonia. The love of Christ was not held in reserve to those who were in Thessalonica alone. They saw the need of their neighboring cities, their neighboring towns, and they went out to meet it. They went out of their way to share the gospel of Christ. Not only the gospel of Christ, they shared of themselves, and they also shared of their resources. The church at Thessalonica could have easily said, Paul, we have done enough. Paul is therefore encouraging them, don't get comfortable. Don't look at all the things you are doing and give God a checklist and say, God, I'm already doing this. I'm already bringing people into my home. I'm already visiting people. I already talked to all the strangers at church. The Apostle Paul says, that is great. That is amazing. Do so more and more. Never reach a point where you can say that, you know what, I feel like I'm content. I feel like when it comes to brotherly love, I'm doing enough. Paul says, I urge you, I plead with you, do so more and more. But now we have to ask ourselves the question, who then is our brothers? We know when Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples and he gave them the two greatest commands, the question that came up is, who is my neighbor? And I feel even as we go through this passage, we kind of have to talk about who this neighbor is. But even before we talk about that, when the Apostle Paul is talking about more and more, he said the same phrase again in verse 1. He says that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God, just as you were doing, that you do so more and more. The Apostle Paul is saying, make every effort to train your heart in self-control so that you don't, so that you can abstain from sexual immorality. He says, put in the same effort and even more to love your brother. That's how he connects the two. And he says, if you will love your brother, this is what we can assume is going to happen. If you love your brother, you will then not lead your brother to temptation. If you can catch what the Apostle Paul is saying here, then what he had mentioned, what Yanni was talking about last week about sexual immorality wouldn't be a problem. If you love your brother, you wouldn't want to see them fall into sin. If you love your brother, you will not look at them as objects for sexual pleasure. If you love your brother, you will not fulfill your lusts with them. If you love your brother, you will not use your brother for financial gain. He talks about this in verse 11. If you love your brother, you will not love them by category, by gender, by class, by culture, or by race. Your love should be unconditional. So before I answer who is your brother, who is not your brother? Your brother is not the person, your brother is not just the person you came with tonight. Maybe you'll argue with them. I think the people I can't stand are the people I love the most. But that's not your brother. Those are the people who it's easier to love them. That's not your brother only. Your brother is not just the person you consider socially acceptable. If you took them to any crowd, they would fit like a glove. Your brother is not just the person who is in your financial bracket. Yeah, I'm a student and as a student, things are tough. So I'll just chill with those who are also experiencing these hardships and we'll suffer together. Your brother is not just the person you share interests with. It's not just the person who loves soccer like I do. It's everyone else. So then who is your brother? Your brother is the person who is kneeling beside you at the cross of Jesus Christ. Your brother is the person who is kneeling before Christ, pleading and asking him for mercy and grace because he realizes that he is spiritually bankrupt without him. Your brother is the person who is going to come and ask you for help, be it financial, be it material, clothes, be it a friend, that person who just needs a friend, or be that person who had fallen into sin and is in need of spiritual guidance. That is who your brother is. But the honest truth is, this will not come naturally. Because we naturally gravitate to those people who meet our likes and dislikes. People who aren't naturally socially awkward, or people who are extroverts who want to chill with extroverts, introverts with introverts. Because of our natural state, because we are naturally sinful beings, we naturally want to look out for number one. As long as my needs are being met. As long as I'm entertained. As long as I won't get bored. As long as I don't have to put in the work to initiate this relationship, I'm fine. Paul is saying, let's get out of that mold and love your brother. But now there's a serious question we have to consider. What about those people who we can consider unlovable? Those people who maybe they're just rude. Or those people that they just don't fit. I mean, I've tried, but those people, like, they're just hard. What do we do with those people? The answer is, remember that you yourself are undeserving of anything God has given you. Remember that apart from Christ, everyone sitting here, including myself, we are all unlovable. Remember that it's not given in scripture as something that is optional or something that is conditional. God doesn't say, love your brother if he's okay. It's imperative. It's a command. He says, if you love God, you will love your brother. You cannot love your brother. You cannot hate your brother and hate God. And vice versa. You cannot hate God and love your brother. If you love your brother, it's seen in your love for God. If you love God, it's seen in your love for your brother. Remember, loving your brother is a reflection of God's working grace in your heart. If we want to see that the Spirit is actively working in your heart, we will see it by you being obedient to His pinch. You stepping out of your comfort zone to meet those whose needs need to be met. And lastly, if God can overlook your flaws every day, how much more should we overlook the flaws of others around us? So how do we love the unlovables? We just need to remember that love is unconditional. The love that God is teaching us to have for people is not based on who they are or what they can give me, but it's just unconditional. So where did I get the title of my message from? Stay in your lane. I picked it up from verse 12. In fact, when I read verse 12, I was a little bit excited. He says, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs. Stay in your lane. Mind your own business. And to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you would walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. What is the Apostle Paul talking? The church at Thessalonica some people in the church were expectant of the coming return of Christ. So as they were expecting the return of Christ, some of them decided that, you know what, we shouldn't work anymore. Christ could come anytime. So they became idle. And as they became idle, they became burdens to some of the people in the church. Now the Apostle Paul comes in and encourages them and says, guys, you need to work. Go back and work with your hands so that your testimony will not be questioned. But as I read this, I decided that we need to develop this a bit more. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, avoid being a leech or manipulating people to come to your aid constantly. Do not be the person who's always sitting there saying, they should love me. Oh, people at Central are not loving. The question should be, who have I loved? By so doing, you will maintain a godly testimony and depend on no one but God. So Apostle Paul, what he's actually urging the people here is stop looking at the success of others. Oh, but Sipo has a great job, but you know, I've never seen him put money in that bag. Or stop creating circles. You have round circle discussions where we are slandering our brothers, where we are gossiping against our brother, And where does this come from? As I was preparing this, unfortunately, I took a pause and I went to my phone, and I was on Black Twitter. Well, I was on Twitter, and then Black Twitter appeared. And this is where this idea comes from, where we live in a society where it's okay to bash other people. People in our society are even being bashed for doing what is good. This is just the world we live in today. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is, listen, mind your own business, fix your eyes on Jesus, and if you are focusing on your love for God, we will see it by the way you treat your brother. But if you will create a clique or a circle and have round table discussions about your brother, you will neglect your own responsibility. Find yourself on dangerous ground. Essentially, if we read the context, you will be out of the will of God. You will not be doing what will please the Father. Stop using your personality as an excuse. A lot of people say, Jabu, I mean, I really want to love my brother, but I'm just an introvert. A little bit of a confession. Naturally, I'm also an introvert. I consider myself a very shy guy. Well, my friends don't agree, but deep down I know. But I've met a lot of introverts who because of the work of the Spirit in their hearts, today are the loudest people you will find. You see, if you truly say that you love God, you being shy will be the last thing that will hold you down from showing love to somebody else. If you being an introvert is your excuse, ask yourself, who created you that way? God created you that way so He could use you in your shy and cute state to fulfill the wonders of His kingdom. Don't let that become a hindrance for showing brotherly love. And I don't want to end this session without just putting a challenge in there. Initiate a relationship tonight. Don't let this be another sermon where you know I've been in Sunday school and we're taught to love our brothers. I've even taught the Sunday school to love our brothers. Do you actually love your brother? Have you had a conversation with someone outside of your circle? I'm encouraging you tonight, initiate a relationship. Talk to somebody you've never spoken to in your life. It's hard for me too, I agree. But if we keep in mind that in so doing, we are fulfilling the will of God, we will seek to do it. So there are people who are, As I was preparing this, I thought of an illustration. We play soccer on Mondays, and I'd already apologized to this guy before I'm gonna illustrate this. So we play soccer on Mondays, and we have a brother who is really skilled in pointing out all of our mistakes. He has developed the art of seeing gaps on the field that none of us can see. And there was a time in the game where he was mentioning, no, you cover that guy, bring it in. And I stopped and I asked him, you know, as you were pointing our gaps, did you not realize that you were missing out on your own gap? You see, it was easier for him to see holes and patches, but as he was commanding us into our positions, his position wasn't being filled. And that essentially is what happens when we are not minding our own affairs. When we are too busy in other people's business, our lane is not active. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is don't just be that guy who's like, no, you do that. You initiate it. You do it. And in so doing, you will please God. Romans 12 and verse 9 to 10. Excuse me. It reads, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Before I even explain this verse, we need to remember, before the Apostle Paul gets here, before he talks about brotherly affection, he goes through a lengthy discussion on how we've been justified. And we have the Spirit of God who will help us to be able to do this. But every time I read this passage, outdo one another in showing honor. I automatically think about this. There's this advert that played a long time ago. And it was a bridge where only one car could pass at a time. And these two cars would be parked on, well, these two cars came to the bridge at the same time and they both stopped. And the one guy comes out of the car and says, no, 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 you go. And then that guy on the other side jumps out of his truck and says, no, 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 you go. And I think for the whole ad, they're just going, no, you go, no, you go, no, you go. And when I read this passage, that's the idea that the Apostle Paul is trying to get to us. That we're almost like trying to outdo each other in loving everybody. It's almost like, I just want to love somebody. No, you have a seat. No, 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 you have a seat. No, you go first. No, 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 you go first. It's the idea of if we were all to love each other, if we were all to actively be loving our neighbors, then this church should have a solid impact in our community. Everybody would say, no, you know, the church at Central is just filled with people who love us. The church at Central is not just welcoming two or three people, it's welcoming as a whole. It's not just that the welcoming team or one or two of the elders of the church or the church leadership, but the whole church just wants to welcome and embrace everybody. We just want to outdo one another in showing honor. In this, the will of God will be fulfilled. Conclusion. Flee partiality. Do not fall into the trap of loving those who are easy to love. Love those who you generally wouldn't be attracted to. Flee partiality and pursue a God-ordained love for your brother. Two questions. Are you guilty for loving partially? And number two, have you grown weary of doing good? Have you grown weary of loving? You feel like you have loved enough. I've shown so many people so much love. Nobody responds back to me. I feel like I'm the only one who's loving in this church. I remind you and I encourage you, as the Apostle Paul says, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Let's pray. Father, this is one of those sermons easier said than done. But Father, I pray that if we truly are Christians who want to seek the will of God, if we are Christians who really want to please you, I pray, Father, that you would actively pursue this. I pray, Father, that we would look for relationships, that we would initiate relationships with our brothers here at the church. I pray, Father, that we would outdo each other in showing honor to one another. I pray, Father, for the Spirit's help. I pray, Father, to convict our hearts for if there were moments where we were guilty of any of the things mentioned in this message. I pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to rectify that tonight. Maybe, Father, there's someone in the church who has offended us. I pray, Father, that we would go and reconcile that tonight as well. That, Father, we would just be a body of people who just love one another. And, Father, from this love, we will make a better impact in our community. So God, may we just be a church that is seeking your glory in everything that we do. And may we not be people who just know to do good, but Father, may we seek to do good. In Jesus' name, amen.